This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up, everybody, and welcome in to the Backliners Podcast. Agro joined by Barracuda, as per usual. And listen, as per usual recently, Barra, you guys kind of pogged off this week.
Yeah.
A big dub. But before we get into that, I want to ask, obviously you guys made a roster change. SOT, after coming off the bench, has now been benched again, or I don't know what the technical term for what you guys decided to do is, but variety now on the roster. Just wanted to get your perspective on that change.
It was a really hard change for us to do as a team, and coming to the final decision was really difficult because I'm the kind of person slash player that always hates doing roster changes, and I always want to keep the current roster and work through it and try to just fix all the issues and just not do roster changes. But I think overall for the team as a whole, it was a needed change and I'm happy we did it, but it's been a very stressful decision-making process, and it's just, yeah, I always hate doing roster changes.
Yeah, they're never fun to do, but clearly, you know, not to say that you wouldn't have won this set without Variety, but I think Variety played exceptionally well in his first set with you guys. A big win over a Radiance team that looked unbeatable before they couldn't play for a little bit. Now, all of a sudden, they go 0-2 this week, but I was watching the games on stream right before we went live for this podcast, and twitch.tv/aggro, by the way. And look, I stream now, man. That's the way it's got to be. Okay. I've got to plug a little bit.
What?
I was watching, you got a popped off on King Kenneth there at the very end of game three. Your relic usage, clean. The autos, clean. The mantle stun, clean. It was all kind of easy for you there. You if you die to Kenan in the 1v1 there, I don't know if you guys can end.
Yep. I yelled a lot of expletives.
Name three expletives you yelled.
I cannot do that. I was very excited in the moment because we basically won a 3v5 team fight, and I juked like two of Cyclone's Rama ults. I juked Agni bombs, and then Adapting blinked on me and tried to box me through a wave. And if I didn't have mantle, I would have died. And just, it was very scary. And Ven just left me, by the way.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he turned around, saw Adapting on you, and was like, see ya, partner, and immediately went towards the rest of the team.
Ven's always like, yeah, we should fight together. And then In the last minute of a very crucial team fight, my man just goes in the jungle and just bails. And yeah. I'm like, what are you doing, man? Like,
faith.
Oh, I dodged
little faith.
Eight abilities, like, and you're just leaving me, man.
Two things. Number one, Destiny, Barra's girlfriend in the chat, she says the S word, the F word, and the S word again were the three. So you kind of got exposed by Destiny. And then number two, we got to... Okay, listen. I'm kind of on a build vendetta scream, like, wound me up earlier this weekend with his building. No. Ven has got to be building Reaver against Cthulhu, man. He didn't have he didn't have Reaver. You need that one. Yeah.
What was his build? I didn't even look at it.
It was Boots, Mage's Blessing, Lost Artifact, finished Boots, then went Doom Orb, then went Chronos Pendant, then went Charon's, then he went Magus, And then he went Eastaf, which he then instantly sold after insta-dying, because obviously it's not going to save his life, and sold that for Mantle. That was the build.
You know, he also said, this is a game where I'm not going to be able to sell boots. I wonder why.
Because he flushed 2,600 gold down the drain by having Eastaf for exactly one fight.
And then left me? Yeah, that's really cool. Also, okay. So we threw game three. I was PvEing very happily game three.
You sure were?
My 4v4 was just winning, yes. And I was just being a nice little split push Cupid. And,
as one does.
And then somebody on my team who shall go unnamed we can do fire. No
okay, wait,
cap.
How about this? They said what?
We can do fire, no cap.
Okay, so that was Jake. Because no one else besides Jake would ever say it in that manner. Listen, man, I was ranting about this on my stream as well. Twitch.tv/aggro. Here, one of my number one pet peeves, and this happens in ranked all the time, and I understand it there because people are just like bad. By the way, it's very funny that every time I plug my Twitch, I hear my follow notification go off in the background. So you know it's working, baby. Okay, oh, you know you love to see that. But this happens in ranked and in competitive, and in competitive, it blows my mind. A team does Pyromancer and then they go, yo, Fire Giant's right here. Maybe we just do that too, as if they didn't let everyone on the other team know that they are grouped on Pyromancer by doing it first. Like, if you're going to try and do both, do the fire first. Like, do the fire first. I don't understand. It makes me so mad. Well,
it's like you do pyro,
yep,
and then you think that all of them are going to just run away because it's like, oh, they're just on pyro, we're fine.
Nope.
And then unfortunately in competitive, people are smart enough to be like, they just did pyro. What if they're doing fire? And right when three of my teammates died and then Benji Blink 3 insta-canceled, caught my dash, I was like,
yep. Yep, that was a bit unlucky.
Built a lead for 17 minutes, had a 6K lead, and then in under a minute, it was gone.
Yep. Yep, just instantly. Dude, really Kennet cool. Was literally level, like, one. He was a non-factor in that game, then instantly got three levels and stole fire and won, like, put his team back in the game pretty much single-handedly. Like,
and then I had to take him out.
And then you had to take him out. Okay, man. You cannot be saying it like that, dude.
What do you mean?
Like, he didn't have a choice in the matter. I had to take him out.
He hard chased me, bro. What do you want? Vin left me. It was a 1v1, mono-e-mono, fight to the death. And thankfully, I went Devo's this game, so I lived.
Yeah, no trans Jotuns build. You would have been in the dirt crying about where Ven was without.
Okay,
if you had gone
my dash would have been back up.
Yeah, right, dude. Away. Yeah, right.
Dude, I dashed so early. My dash was literally coming right back up.
Yeah, maybe that is true.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and champion futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier. like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th.
Listen, a big win. Obviously, it wasn't like a must win by any stretch, but I think this ties into our next topic pretty well. Bottom four of the SPL, which have not won against a top team at all this entire phase, pretty much, save for like one or two sets, go undefeated against the top four this week. So it seems like, at least in my mind, that's a pretty big win to keep you guys on pace and staying ahead of teams like Obey and United, who are looking a lot better.
Well, I mean, our past three sets, like, we 2-0'd Ghost. Yep. We lost SSG 1-2, unfortunately, but we should have won. I think it was game one or game three. And then our Radiant set was really good as well. And we're just keeping this momentum, and which is very important and very hard to do.
Yep.
Because scrims happen, bad scrims happen, and, like, your team goes through different moods. And the fact that it was, like, 2 weeks ago? Was it 2 or 3 weeks ago that we played Ghost?
2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, because it was a bye week in between, but you had a doubleheader that week against Ghost SSG.
Yeah, so 2 weeks ago, we maintained the same strength in our roster. And we've also been, I don't know how to say it, but just meshing. I guess meshing is the best word, but meshing with variety really quickly. Mm-hmm. I think he fits what we needed for our solo laner, because Lass is a very, I'd say, traditional style jungler. He likes his frontliners to be tanky. He likes his frontliners to make room and call a lot. And so when we were going for selecting our new solo laner, those were things that were very important to me. And I vocalized them in the selection process very heavily.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was, I just knew what I wanted for the team and for Lass, and I'm very happy with the decision. I think we're still a little off in our front line, I think, or slightly on different pages. I think game one today, we were really on separate pages on our front line. And then literally as the games progressed, we just got better and better. Except for the game three fire giant.
Well, that's just,
oh yeah, and then game two, my frontline literally trolls me and lets the Alma through, and I'm like,
is that when you knocked yourself up on gold and died?
Yeah, I tried to secure Oni. I was like, it's, I think it was like 700 or 800, and I was like, I can just try to secure this and then die. Mm-hmm. And that was my game plan, because if the Alma gets in, she can secure it. And once she hit me, I think with her first or second tick of her ult, she was in the gold for your pit. So she's always getting that. So my whole play was like, I'll just die for Oni. And also, I didn't even think the Alma was going to get through. And then once she did get through, I was like, this is really bad. Like, yeah, this is so bad. Well, and my play, like, instantly in my head, I just went to, I need to play to secure Oni. And I did not secure Oni.
that had Aegis and ult,
so yeah, it's kind of a weird play. But if I Aegis, he gets it. If I ult,
he gets also, it.
Yeah, and then he probably kills me afterwards. So I kind of just risked it. But also, the Amy should have never gotten there, I'll be honest.
I will agree with that.
Somebody let the Amy through.
Who was it?
I don't know. Someone. We'll see.
Did that person say, yo, Amy's coming, no cap?
No, I think he actually just backed up because gold was getting so low, he was like, Alma won't be here. And then she showed up around the corner. I don't even know if Jake plucked her tail, but by that point, she probably dashed too ulted. So by then, it was too late anyways. Like, if she gets around the corner, it's too late.
Right.
But, yeah.
You're not peeling that.
Game one. What even happened? Oh, yeah.
You know what I was thinking game one? Because you talk a lot about how Jake loves not missing Sobek Pluck. And I was watching that game and I was thinking, man, Jake is not going to be happy with with this one.
He was really not happy with his personal performance. And for Jake, he doesn't really tilt. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll play bad and, like, miss mechanical abilities, which for Jake normally never misses. Like, and also when he died for first blood, I was literally fine with that. I was like, Jake's going to beat himself up way more than I can possibly.
Right.
Like, if I say anything bad here, like, that's just bad. Like,
right.
And I just stayed silent. And Jake said something. I don't remember what it was, but it was really funny. I tried to not laugh because he died in such, like, a stupid way. And yeah, I mean, Jake should just never be dying there. That's why, like, as a pro player, you just can't be getting mad at your teammates in those situations because, like, they obviously know better. Like,
right. Yeah, it wasn't like, yeah, it's not a, that's not the way it goes. I was going to say, Jake, it's good that Jake doesn't tilt because he shouldn't be allowed to tilt. If he goes like 0-14 on Scylla support in ranked, and then you tell me he's a tilter, I think that's illegal. So it makes sense that he's not tilted because nothing could ever match some of those ranked performances, you know?
I mean, the mentals on this team are insane. Like, game three, they literally got fire and last calls to instantly pick the Rama in solo lane.
Yeah.
Like, literally zero tilt from our team. And that, like, normally when you lose a fire and lose a mid Phoenix
and like a 6K lead,
like, people start to get tilted, they start to get unfocused. And last just instantly, like, laser focus, said what we needed to do and made a play. And that just meant so much to me that my jungler instantly, like, no fear, we're making plays again. And I feel like the thing that is the most different with us right now, and it showed a lot in game one, was we were still doing things on the map.
Mm-hmm.
I think for the first 6 or 7 minutes, we were a little slow. Because they kept invading purples, which also that was mainly due to our start, and then also mainly due to me rotating to the red buff, because I knew they were going to invade because that's kind of like the counter. If you do purple to alpha and the support doesn't do alpha, you just push the wave and go to red, and then mid pressure too. So I thought that was really important for me to rotate over. I missed my knockup, but I still thought we could, like, kill the Ravana, so I stay and skip an entire wave trying to force a fight where we don't really have an engage. We have, like, Janna's portal as an engage, which is really bad over Redwall.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought with the position they were in that we could have gotten kills there, but with Jake not having Pluck because he's level 1, last thing is level 2 Suku, his engage pretty bad, so it's probably just a bad rotation, but I still thought I could make it work, but off of that, plus the first blood, I was like 800, 900 gold down off the bat, which is not really the place you want to be as a Jingwei.
No.
But we just had really strong mentals. I think I kept that deficit for the next, like, 20 minutes. So that's really good for me to keep the deficit the same throughout the whole next 20 minutes of a game, especially when you're starting that poorly and losing all of your purples because they're just grouping and then losing all your reds. And yeah, we just need to start trading on the map way sooner than we were.
Well, it ended up working out okay, I'd say. You guys find the dub. And like I said, you are not the only bottom four team that found a dub this week. Radiance versus Obey to start us off on Friday was a win for Obey. Sanguine versus E-United on Friday, win for E-United. Sanguine versus PK on Saturday, PK beat Sanguine. And then today, you guys versus Radiance, the bottom four undefeated against the top four. And that really is a big change. How do you want to do it? Do you want to talk about, like, bottom four as a whole, or do you want to go team by team and talk about how much or like what you think allowed them to improve or find their dubs? Which do you think is better?
I say team by team.
Cool. Then let's start with the eighth seed rather. There are eight teams. E-United. I'm gonna be honest. I was reading the Reddit thread on the roster changes.
Oh my god.
And so many comments were like, I don't think they get that much better. They might get marginally better. And I was losing it. This is like the biggest midseason upgrade maybe of all time for any team. This team was 0-10, and they come in and they go 2-0. Now, Sanguine did not look good later on against PK, so maybe you can devalue that win a little bit. But I thought their win, like, Obey didn't play poorly today. I think United just played really well. I thought both teams played well. That was a good Smite game. E-United is like a real team that literally every single team in the SPL has to be worried about losing to now, because I think they are instantly competing near the middle of the pack, no longer near the bottom at all.
I would say that same line about all the bottom four teams. I know we just said team by team, but I think that same line applies with our recent three games with Obey rising up through, in my opinion, their front line. I feel like Ducky...
Dude, he has been pogging off recently. His Thor game today was nuts.
His Thor I think the first time I recognized his Thor was against Ghost, I think. He just kept them in the game and kept them in the game forever. And he was just getting massive Thor dunks, massive Thor walls. And I feel like Ducky before was kind of just a player where you put him on a safe laner and then he comes into team fights and plays well, kind of a Demi style. And now I feel like he's making plays throughout the first 10 minutes where he wasn't before. And I feel like his laning phase has gotten way better when he gets a lead. I feel like his laning phase still struggles when he gets behind, but I mean, who's doesn't?
Yep.
I feel like Inbound is just relentlessly holding W. Kind of in sometimes, but I think every support kind of in sometimes if they're a W key holder.
Yep, which is what all support should be.
Agreed. Which you probably have learned that through your rank support journey, okay, whatever you're doing.
Vera, you've been seeing me pog off though, right? A little bit?
And Sino has just been playing really well with, with the rest of us.
Also, wait, not only are you not going to say that I've been pogging off, which I have been on twitch.tv/aggro, but also and they've all been flawless. You're welcome. And I literally asked you about EU United and all you're doing is talking about Obey, bro. What is going on? What is happening?
I said team by team and I started with Obey.
But I didn't. I started with EU United.
Sorry.
Okay. You finish talking about Obey, then I'm going to go talk about Obey and then you can talk about EU United. That's how we'll do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So go ahead. Yeah. Sino, you were saying.
Yeah, Sino's been, I already said that. Sino's been playing really well with the rest of their front line. And then I think Baskin has been playing really well.
Okay. I'm just getting trolled, man. No, please. Everyone would rather hear from you anyways.
I think Baskin is the main catalyst for their look for a pick play style every time they get into a late game situation, because they have done the look for a pick play
Zeus
about 20 times so far, and I've seen that play, and I've teamed with Baskin before, and that is a Baskin call late game, group up, and if you just left a lane, you're going to be sitting there looking for a pick. That they did that, and they picked so many people. I think it worked every single time.
They literally crazy. So two things. Number one, everyone on the podcast just heard Zeus pop off. That's because I got a sub on my channel. Apologies. I don't know if I can stop that, but thanks to Severin for the sub.
You're thanking subs?
What am I not supposed to? Am I supposed to ignore them? What do you mean?
You are like, not streaming on twitch.tv/aggro.
Right. Oh, thank you, Barrow. That is where you can find my channel. Thank you. Appreciate that. It was very funny that every single time United did any objective, they'd like get a tier two and then they'd walk and just like hide behind red buff. They'd be like, all right, here we go. It's time. Like, and they just wait for it. And you know what? If teams are going to keep doing it, it'll keep working. I do think that it's you guys who play them next. Hey, if they do an objective and then walk into the jungle, they're probably not backing, you know, like they're probably still going to be there.
Here are all my teammates with me. Hey, you guys want to look for a pick? Yeah, let's go.
Zeus.
Exactly. You're good to go. Oh, no. Now I'm going to start getting subs, and I don't know how to stop the noise from happening.
Oh, God.
How do I stop
what
it, Vera? I don't know how to stop it.
Oh, so sorry.
I do want to. Okay, wait. I actually think I know. I have to go to, like, my Streamlabs.
Just close your Streamlabs thing.
Zeus.
Oh, will that stop it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've stopped.
You can also leave it open if you're getting subs. That's fine.
Listen, I'm getting subs, but I don't want it to take over the podcast. Thank you to everyone who's subbing, but I'm not going to be looking because I don't want to take over the podcast. Okay, so that's a United. By the way, Gino, legit beast.
Yeah, that dude is sick. Really well. Also, I think the biggest thing for United is when you're in a rut like they were, I think they just need a reset.
Yep.
And I feel like changing out the more players is better.
Yep.
Because you're getting more just fresh minds in that haven't lost, whatever, 10 sets in a row. And especially with Snoopy role swapping, it feels like he probably hasn't lost either. So he's fine. And I just feel like for their teams, their mentals were in the gutter. And
I mean, when you're 0-10, it has to be, right?
Exactly. And swapping out players is the best thing that you can do in that situation. Even coming from a player that hates changing players, I think in their situation, it was necessary. Unfortunately, because I'm a big Gaije fan, obviously I'm a big Variety fan.
Yeah.
I feel like Gaije would have been sick if he had had more time. I also feel like he wasn't the main reason they were losing. I feel like their entire team as a whole, I feel like all of them are making individual plays, but I mean, the majority decided to kick the minority. So, I mean, that's just what happened, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah, I was going to ask you your opinion on that situation, because I know you are high on Gaije. Mm-hmm. Do you think it was the right call for United?
Being a big Gaije fan, I would say no, because I feel like he is a ton of unlocked potential. And I feel like, I don't want to bring it up, but his 1v1 against Zap where he missed like 7 auto attacks, I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but after you choke a 1v1 that hard, your mental has to be not great.
It's got to take a hit on the confidence for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, just leaning against Gaije in scrims and ranked, I just feel like he's sick. I just feel like maybe it's not his time. Maybe when he comes back, it'll be better.
Yep.
I don't know. I also feel like Variety was probably their most consistent player, but it's just, I mean, I feel like Snoopy, Scream, and Hurry are like, I don't really, I don't know if I can say that, but I feel like they're really good friends. So like, they're obviously going to stick together.
Sure. Hurry did say in our interview that he did not want people to think they kept Snoopy because they were friends. He just thought that Snoopy was the best option in the short term. And I think that's the big thing that makes me think it was the right call. I can totally buy an argument that if this were phase one, that Gaije is a better pickup. But with Worlds so close, I really don't think that you can hope that Gaije will improve. Like, he'd shown a lot of really good qualities, but he'd also shown a lot of like rookie mistakes, because, and it's not his fault, right? Like, he's a rookie. He legitimately is. You have to take those lumps as a rookie. So just having Snoopy as an experienced member, and it's not like Snoopy was playing poorly phase one. They moved him out of kind of necessity. Like, I don't think Snoopy would have lost his spot with the way that he was playing early in phase one. So for all those reasons, I do think Snoopy's the right call, while also acknowledging that Gaije is really sick and definitely deserves another shot at the SPL.
If I wasn't a big, or if I wasn't as big of a Gaije fan as I am, I would say it's the right call as well, because as an ADC player, it's way easier to probably shot call from ADC than support if you're used to ADC. Like, you're just used to the limitations of what you can do and what objectives you can do.
Yep.
And swapping roles, I feel like, just changes a player a lot, because you're probably stuck on your mechanics.
Yep.
And positioning what you need to be doing, where as if he's just stuck at ADC or playing ADC, he's just used to it. Like, your brain doesn't have to think anymore, you're just playing. And then for, you want to go to us or PK next?
Let's do PK. I think we kind of talked about what you guys are doing recently. You kind of been killing it. I think we covered that for the most part.
PK is just a weird team. Like, I feel like they are the most hot and cold team in SPL.
It is unbelievable. And
when they are on, they are unbeatable. Like, their Worlds run, once they caught fire, they didn't lose it, and they just kept playing insanely well. But when they're playing poorly, it's like you're watching a completely different team. They don't even look anything like themselves.
They have the potential to be the best team in the SPL and the worst team in the SPL in consecutive games, which I don't think is the case for any other team. Like, even at Ghost's lows, they aren't the worst. At, you know, when you guys are clicking, I still don't think it's fair to call you the best team in the SPL at that moment. You just can compete at that. PK can look unbeatable and look physically incapable of winning in back-to-back games. And I, like, God bless Chuck, their coach, because how do you do, like, what do you do with that? Because I don't know, man. I feel like it's very difficult.
And I can't tell if it's a draft issue or an individual play issue or a whole team issue or a day issue.
Yep.
And every time they play against us, they look pretty good.
Yep.
Flipping the coin incorrectly.
Yep.
We're playing them. And hopefully next time we don't get stomped, but I feel like the last year and a half.
Bro, what if? Okay. What if Chuck, here's the theory, okay? Because they've looked like the best team in the SPL against the three teams below them all year. They've looked incapable of winning against the top four. So, what if recently, Chuck, during the bye week, Chuck performed some sort of Australian ritual, okay, and brought their mentals to Australia, thereby turning them upside down, thereby making PK really sick against the top four teams, but horrible against the three teams below them? Bang.
You're still only winning one more set.
Easy. Figured it out.
Also, did you just say that because Scream just came in the chat?
No.
You've been talking way too much with Scream.
What do you mean, man? I literally haven't. I did one interview with Scream on Player Spotlight, which was fantastic. Everyone should go watch on the Smite Pro YouTube.
/aggro.
You can't watch it there, but you should go and subscribe there. And that was the only, that's the all I've talked to Scream recently. No, I talked to him on Twitter when I told him Serrated Edge is bad on Thor. That was it. Which I was right about, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I just trust Scream's build at this point. Like, he's been doing it for this long that I just trust his judgment.
Don't you think, like, don't you think that there is a world where Scream is winning in spite of his builds, not because of his builds?
But if he builds his builds and he wins with them, he powers up. So therefore, if he keeps building his builds become stronger. And because he's been losing so much lately, his builds haven't grown in strength. But now that he's winning, he can start to perform and use his builds again and start building them up.
So he's kind of like, I don't know if you've watched Dragon Ball Z, but you're saying he's kind of like a Saiyan, right? Like, they get stronger when they lose. Like, the harder you push them, the stronger they get. Oh, okay. Kind of like Jake.
Yep.
Okay. Well, there you go. Scream does say in the chat, that's actually true. I can start griefing my builds again. Man, the benefits of having a basket on your team, huh? You get to grief in your builds and it doesn't matter.
Also, I would love to just be a fly on the wall and just watch Scream and Jake just have a conversation.
It would be like something.
That would be probably the smartest conversation that Smite has ever listened to.
From Scream, it'd be a lot of, hey, you know, like, hey, that's just what I do, hey. And then Jake would be like, no cap. I don't know. I don't talk to Jake that much, but I assume that's how it goes for the most part there. I will say that specifically last year, I did hang out with Scream a lot more. And hearing him and Baskin interact when they were on Armada together were some of my favorite interactions I've ever heard. those two together were just so funny, just like consistently raging at each other about the dumbest stuff. And I really hope that Heroin is being treated to that every day in scrims, because that would be a real treat. That would be a real treat for him. Okay, Bera, we're running a little bit low on time. Not really. We're actually on pretty good pace, but I think this might take some time. I heard your pregame interview with one John Finch.
Yep.
And I heard you saying some nonsense about hunters getting nerfed and they didn't deserve it or something like that.
Mages are
okay. No, hold on. Okay. I'm going to read these hunter changes, okay?
Okay.
Do you want the items or the gods first? Which one is more impactful? It's got to be the items, right?
Items?
Yeah, okay. I'm not even going to touch the gods. Neither god really got nerfed that hard. Cupid and Rom got small nerfs, barely anything at all.
The Rom nerf is kind of big.
Okay. Here are the changes. Atalanta's bow, an item that's built every single game by every single hunter, no matter what. Decrease attack speed from 30%. Now brace yourselves here. Brace yourselves. This is a big one. From 30% to 25%. 5% attack speed. I know. Tough. I can barely move on.
I know. Same.
Also decrease the movement speed while attacking and strafing from 40% to 30%. So that's only when you get a kill and a sit or an assist. You lose your basically free haste effect. Okay.
It's a dead item.
Okay. Silver Branch Bow. I can't believe I'm saying this, but Silver Branch Bow, another item that gets built every single game and abused by the OP hunters. Also took a nerf. Decrease attack speed from 35%. Oh boy, this is going to be tough to say. 35% all the way down to the measly number of 30%. Only 30% attack speed on my Silver Branch Bro. Barra, why should I care at all that you guys lost 10% attack speed across two items? It's barely even a nerf.
Dude, the class already sucks. What do you mean?
Oh my god, the class sucks. What was the first pick in the Obey United set? Single game?
We're literally first picking because all of our teammates want to hold their picks and because we have neutral picks.
Think that Obey is also first picking Rom every game for the same reason?
Yeah.
Do you think that Radiant's first picked Rom for Cyclone Game 3 just because they felt like it?
Well, he lost.
Okay. Do you think that every team in the whole SPL is like first picking Rom? Just because? Yeah. Just because no one else wants a pick? Everyone go, do you want Persephone here? Persephone opened, by the way, in the Obey United sets. I don't really feel like playing Persephone, one of the quote-unquote OP mages.
All of your teammates are crybabies, and they want to hold their pick. So we cannot counterpick, so we're stuck to the same two gods every game.
Listen, all I'm saying is those two gods are so OP that none of the other... They are stifling the rest of the hunter class. Stifling.
Okay, the balance changes are just bad because Atalanta is a core item right now that's built by every hunter as a necessity because we need 20% penetration or we do no damage.
Right.
So that nerfs literally every hunter.
Right.
Instead of just nerfing the OP hunters, it nerfs every hunter.
Right, but hunters are hunter late games. Your item build is so cheap. You get there so fast, and then when you're six slotted, you're nuts.
Yeah, because soul laners are literally brain dead right now. They're putting Sledge and Soul Leader and then being like, why is this hunter auto-attacking me for 200? It's because you think Sledge is a tank item.
It is not.
It's not a tank item.
Soul laners are building very hybrid these days. And most supports are building like a flat pen item.
Yeah.
I agree.
And dude, the last time I built the full attack speed build was against Radiance. Well, I built it now, unfortunately. But I built it against Radiance before. And in a late game team fight, I auto-attacked Benji for 100 plus kins.
Huge.
Which was about 50.
Big. That's 150, baby.
That's on a tank with 300 prots. And you're telling me that build's broken?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
150.
Because, Barra, here's the deal. I raw beam that guy for 180, and that's on a 6 second cooldown. You get to fire two of your auto attacks a single second, and that's not before you get an Odysseus bro proc and hit everyone in the whole team fight for free.
Yeah, because they're always grouped up.
Listen, bro, even if it's only one, person, you still get Odibo procs.
The only time that build is good is when you are sitting there auto attacking and you're hitting every single auto attack. But every time you're doing a poke trade, you are literally losing the trade against their warrior or guardian.
Yeah, that's what hunters do, bro. They're fast attackers.
Trades? That is what a tank?
Listen, man. Yes, if they don't let you...
Listen, man, me. I'm raw beaming for 100 at twitch.tv/aggro.
That's right. Make sure you follow and subscribe. Look, you get 2.5 attacks a second. You can't be doing 300 with each of them. You'd one-shot everyone.
I'm literally shooting a mosquito army at a tank.
Yeah, but you're shooting them real fast.
Yeah. Real they fast. They are just being stung to death very slowly.
Or real bitten, fast. Listen, man. This is not... I did the listen menu again. I've been hanging out with like Nika and Cherry too much. This is... Hunter's OP late is good for the game, right? It's what... Hunters need to be good late game... Because if they aren't, they're never worth picking. Yeah? Mm-hmm. What are you yeah-ing me for? I'm on your side here.
Keep going.
Okay.
I love doing no damage.
That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Hunters need to be good late. It is core to the design of any MOBA that they need to be good late game because they are designed to be bad early game. Hunters losing 10% attack speed, not on one item, but spread out across two items... is not going to be felt by that much. You lose a little bit of power on Silver Branch passive, a little bit, and that's really it. You're hitting 2.5 attack speed. If you go Silver Branch 6th, if you go Odibo 5th, you're still at 2.5 attack speed before you even build Silver Branch.
Yeah, but the only person, or the only god you can build that build on and do it really well are Cupid, Rama, and then other steroid hunters. If you try to go a build like that, on a non-steroid hunter, it just sucks.
Sure. So in that case, you're only losing 5% attack speed on your build because you're not building Silver Branch anyways, but you are building Atalantis.
But why are non-steroid hunters being nerfed?
They're all being nerfed, but you just agreed.
Exactly!
But Silver Branch hunters are getting nerfed more than non-Silver Branch hunters, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But that doesn't help me fighting a tank. This isn't a hunter versus hunter battle. It's a hunter versus tank.
All I'm saying, Bera, is that you and Zap are crying on Twitter over 5% attack speed on two items. That's like nothing.
Also, if you're a tank late game fighting a carry, just buy Thorns.
Thorns is OP, man. From my support escapades, I can tell you play Kuzumbo, what are they supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
They can't play. It's nuts. Yeah. That character,
and now we really can't play.
Dude, and why does that character's 3 do like 400 damage at level 1?
Yep.
Why? I don't know.
Yeah, let's nerf hunters.
Listen, man, I am all in here for Kuzumbo nerfs.
Also, mages outdamage hunters like every day of the week, bro. You literally just got a buff to Doomorb. Like, Warlocks has been buffed, Book of Thoth's been buffed, and people still aren't buying it because... Flat pen's just broken.
Really? Tell literally the entire SPL because no one's building flat pen. I don't know.
I feel like I'm
taking crazy pills, man. Don't your mid laner built Spear of the Magus 5th and no Soul Reaver. Okay. You gotta have a talk with him too, bro.
At me. I don't know.
You're right. I'm sorry. I got a little wound up.
You can be wound up. You know, you deserve it. I was wound up earlier.
Yeah.
You can be wound up now.
Listen.
If you need to let it out, it's fine.
Why are people going Doomorb Soul Gem on anybody but Yanis? Like it can't be right mathematically, man. It just can't be. Flat pen is so broken.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea. I know from my experience as a mid laner.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Doomorb just felt really good.
It does feel very good.
Flying around the map felt really good. I also feel like it is a very bad team fight item.
It is. And the MP5 is really good, but I feel like on a lot of characters that I saw people building Doomorb on, like Hebo, I think I'd rather just have Rod for a little bit more gold and a much more relevant passive. I mean, Doomorb passive is really relevant early game, but late game... Oh, and here's another good thing. People ask me all the time about Doomorb on like Yanis because... Oh, he moves fast already. Now it's like he's even faster. The item is such a trap on that god because you're lane fighting. And same with Zeus. You're so bad at fighting in lane that you shouldn't do anything to trick yourself into thinking I want to fight near minions ever. Like, fight in the jungle with Yanis. Fight in the jungle with Zeus. Don't buy Doomorb. It doesn't make your atrocious lane fighting good enough. It just doesn't.
I can't tell... if it's actually a necessity or if it's just one of those things where like it just feels good. Like
I'm telling you, dude, if everyone's just building it for MP5, it is better to do Doomorb or to do Book of Thoth start. Book takes care of all your mana problems. It makes you makes your Soul Reaver late in the game hit even harder, and it lets you, like, if you're playing like Hera and you go Book of Thoth, and then late game you either sell your boots or get Book of the Dead sixth item, you are unkillable. You get like back to back massive shields. The fact that no one's building Book actually blows my mind. It is so good right now. It is so good.
Can I just ask you, as a mid laner, is Warlocks just a trash item?
I think it's pretty good. I've been building it a good amount. And I think it's good. I think it's under bot. I really like it on like raw, in characters that don't really have escapes. Mm-hmm. It's just like you're early. You need to get coup pressure because you can only get one or two mana pots and it only has 100 mana, and no MP5 at all. So you're not getting any MP5 until like third item earliest, but I'm building flat pen there because I think that stat is broken. Other people are probably going to build soul gem or some shit. I don't know.
Yep.
But I don't know. I think it's good. I think it's pretty good. I don't know. I feel like it should be. I mean, one thing that's going against it is that Chins is being bought every game. So like extra health isn't that great for you against the enemy ADC, but I think it's pretty good against the Warriors. Like, with the Warrior hybrid build, they usually don't have that much extra damage to kill you. Like, they kill you pretty much exactly through Aegis. If you have extra damage or extra HP and Aegis, I feel like you can survive a lot more dives.
How much HP is on Warlocks? It's like 200-ish.
Once it's or evolved. Fully statted. Yeah, hold on. I'm going to find it right now.
Because I feel like if you go like a Book of Thoth, Warlocks, Book of the Dead, Obshard, I don't know if you need Flatpin. I guess in that build, I feel like you just can't die.
All right, let's see. Warlock staff, you gain, it's 225 when fully stacked. It's 145 power, 225 health, 200 mana, 10% pen.
Does the 10% pen make it awkward to finish your pen build or your 40%?
No. If you go, because no one's building double 20% anyways, it makes it really easy actually, because you just get, Charons or Obsidian. Everyone's buying Charons again. It's still not that much better than Obsidian. I still think Obsidian's better in the vast majority of cases. People just love going fast. And that's why they're doing this exact same Doom Orb Charons build. And I'm convinced it's not that good. And then you get Soul Reaver and you're at 40%.
Oh yeah. Forgot Soul Reaver was still OP.
Yeah,
I felt pretty bad when Soul Reaver got nerfed. I feel like the power probably didn't deserve to be nerfed. I feel like maybe the passive instead.
So this is why you're upset about the Atalanta's nerf. You're cool with having one item just be ubiquitous all the time. You don't think that's that makes it inherently OP?
Well, when you nerf two items and then don't buff other items, you just make the whole class worse. Which they also did to mages. They didn't, because they buffed Doom Orb, Book of Thoth, and Warlocks. Not all on the same patch.
For the record.
Thank you. For the record. I just feel like the Doom Orb buffs make it really easy to fit in your build, and it's just a cheap tier 3. I think it's like 1250.
Yep.
Which feels good.
Tier 3. Yep.
Yeah.
Feels great. I do be loving that for sure. All right. Time for our random question of the week. I saw Destiny asking one earlier in the chat that I did want to get your take on, because I've been eating a lot of tacos recently. Are you a hard shell guy or a soft shell guy?
Soft, easy.
Really?
Unless I'm feeling spicy and want to wrap a soft shell around a hard shell.
Oh my.
And putting cheese around it, which I rarely ever do. But eating a hard shell by itself feels impossible, because it just breaks apart. Your taco goes everywhere.
Yep.
And I actually recently read this in a Reddit thread that if you make your own hard shell tacos, they're OP.
That could be good.
But if you get them like from a store, or I think I've got them from a restaurant, they still do that. Like,
yep, they're fault.
Yeah, I don't know how to bite it. I don't know if I'm just stupid. I feel like regardless of how I bite the taco, I don't do it well.
Here's the play, Chad. I'm going to help you out here. What I do, I get when I make tacos at home, which, like I said, I do at least once a week now, two hard shell tacos, one soft shell taco. I eat my hard shell tacos over my soft shell taco, so anything that falls out just gets wrapped up in my taco for later.
I feel like that's really not a big brain play.
Really? That's, because that just sounds like 3 seconds ago, taco. 3 seconds ago, here's Barracuda. I don't know what to do. My taco goes everywhere. There's no counterplay. Me giving you counterplay is not that good. Play.
That's just, okay. If you make tacos at home, most of the time the meat is like super wet. So
you're adding too much water, but okay.
Okay, it's not me, it's Destiny.
Wow! What is wrong with you, man?
What do you mean?
You can't do that.
You want me to throw myself?
Do you remember what happened after the last podcast, the discussion that we had?
No.
About some cookies that Destiny made? And you threw her under the bus there. And you're going to come on the very next podcast here. And throw unbelievable. Okay. Hey, man, it's your funeral, bro. Go ahead.
Okay. The cookie discussion was different.
Okay.
I rate it differently. Okay. You just unloaded that. So I don't want. No. You're way too hard if I do that. No way. I will literally get destroyed.
Yeah,
like
you can't
that.
Say what you said to me. No way.
No.
You're not allowed. Anyways, okay, just trust me on this one. You can buy the half hard shell, half soft shell, like taco packs at Publix. That's what I get. And so I make some hard shell. I eat them over my soft shell. Everything that falls out, I'm not stressing. I just wrap it up with my soft shell later and it's delicious. And you get like some variability in your texture. I will say my favorite tacos are hard shell. That's why I go 2-1. But it's also just the right ratio for like getting enough extra stuff in my soft shell. It's just good. You good, Bear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Mentally getting ready for what's about to happen.
Dead man walking on stream right here, everyone. All right, last thing before we go. I don't think we've done this. Have we done this? Have we done this one? What's your favorite type of cookie? Ooh. What's your 10 out of 10 cookie?
Okay, dude. I cannot believe you're doing this to me.
You're lucky, by the way, because I haven't seen Destiny in chat. So it's instantly like, you might be getting away with it. Who knows? I'm sure no one will clip this and send it to her.
Okay. It's a homemade chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, really? Homemade, huh?
Yeah. Homemade chocolate chip cookies.
If what?
If they're made perfectly.
Oh, no. What does that imply, Vera? That's the question. Okay. Chocolate chip is the answer. Give me your top three in order, because all cookies are great, pretty much.
I don't know if I have a third one. It's just chocolate chip and then sugar. I feel like I don't, like, eat cookies a lot.
Okay. What are your thoughts on Snickerdoodle versus sugar cookie?
What's on a Snickerdoodle?
Snickerdoodle is basically a sugar cookie, but with like cinnamon sugar.
Oh, those are really good.
Those are S-tier.
I pref sugar over them, though.
Mm.
I just don't like... It's like the crystals or whatever.
You're getting the wrong ones, bro. The good Snickerdoodles are undefeated. That's my number one. Snickerdoodle up top. Chat's asking about peanut butter cookies. You're not a fan of peanut butter?
Peanut butter.
What are your thoughts on oatmeal raisin?
I don't like raisins, but I do like oatmeal cookies.
Oatmeal cookies are delicious. And I didn't think I liked oatmeal raisin cookies until recently. I think I'm putting them in at number two. I think they're my second favorite cookie. Wait, no, they've got to be below chocolate chip. Okay. Number one for me, Snickerdoodle. Number two, chocolate chip. Number three, oatmeal raisin. But oatmeal raisin is right there, man. It is right there with chocolate chip.
I could never put oatmeal raisin in a list ever. Raisins are just disgusting.
Okay, raisins are a little weird. I would rather have it just be oatmeal. I'll agree with that. But the oatmeal cookies are so good that it's better than it can overcome the raisins.
Why wouldn't you just have a cookie like everything in it?
I do like raisins are fine. They're good.
But how is it third place if there's literally something in the cookie you don't like?
I'm saying I do like raisins. I'm just saying they are my favorite part of the cookie. Like, if it were just an, I've never had just an oatmeal cookie, bro. I don't know.
Really?
No, I've never had one. They've always had raisins.
They're delicious, dude.
They sound good. I don't know. No, you know what? The raisins do add something to the cookie.
Why are you yelling?
I don't know. Sorry, I'm getting wound up again. Oatmeal raisin number 3. That's it. They actually do add something. I've decided.
All right, we need to turn this thing off.
Dude. All right, we got to turn this thing off because Bear has got to go figure out a way to live to next weekend for SPL. As always, chat, thanks so much for watching. Everyone who's watching live right now on twitch.tv/prediction esports, which was hosted by twitch.tv/aggro right before this because I was streaming. You can also make sure that you're following us on Spotify and Apple Podcast, the whole Prediction Network. They've got a ton of great podcasts about a whole lot of different esports. So that you're sure to find something else that you like. Everyone say goodbye to Barracuda. You might not ever see him again, but it was a good run. And he did his best, and that's all you can really ask for. Thanks for watching. Make sure to give us a rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well. And we'll see you next time. Barra, do the bye.
Bye. That was a scared one.
Yeah, you're terrified, I can tell.